When I think of chronic pain, I am really thinking of pain that has been around for more than 3 months. And most runners who have chronic injuries start to have these thoughts that they might have to live with the pain forever. And that can be terrifying.
Welcome to Rehab for Runners, the podcast for runners who are ready to get out of pain and run with more confidence. Dr. Lisa will guide you with the clarity you need to unleash your potential with tools, practical tips, and exercises so you can enjoy your runs and exceed your goals.
Welcome back to another episode of the Rehab for Runners podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lisa, and I am finally getting over this congestion. I apologize that I still sound a little nasally, but we're going to keep this show rolling because I have a lot of good things in store today. But before we get started, I wanted to let you know about a free video series that you can use to help get set up with Zone 2 running. If you've listened to my podcast episodes before, you know Zone 2 running really saved my running after I had COVID, and it really allowed me to also run longer distances and enjoy it. Click the link in the show notes so I can walk you through how to set up Zone 2 and you can experience the benefits yourself. When I was in grad school, we had to do 2 research projects my third year. And to no surprise, one of my research projects was on the foot and ankle, but the other one was on understanding chronic pain, specifically chronic low back pain and how to treat it. This isn't something that I've talked about a ton, so I want to be clear that this is chronic pain in terms of musculoskeletal pain, not necessarily a chronic injury. So this is about someone who maybe has had low back pain for a couple months or a couple years, and it's impacting their running or their life. I have worked with some very extreme cases of chronic pain where they feel like they can't do a single thing socially or out in public anymore because of the pain. And I've also worked with runners who have had pain for 2 years but can still run through it and do all the things that they want to do. It's just there in the background. If you're the runner who has had the pain for 2 years or months and months and months, maybe you've seen a PT and it didn't help and you feel like you've done all the things, one thing I encourage you to do is to get another opinion or get another plan, because the first one didn't work and maybe you just need someone to see it from a different angle, maybe someone who's also more experienced at treating runners. So I encourage you to not give up, but try a different plan and see if that helps. Now, this is a less extreme case of chronic pain compared to the cases that I've seen, but it's still important to surrender and not give up on getting help. You will still benefit from everything that I'm going to be teaching you inside this episode, so let's get started. If you've ever had an injury, you know pain can not only affect your running, but also your mood, your stress levels, your sleep, your motivation, and your function with day-to-day tasks. And this is because pain is very complex. I do not like seeing those videos on social media that say, just do this one exercise and you'll be out of pain. I really wish it was that way, but also PT school would probably not be 3 years if it was that way, because pain is a lot more complicated. And the longer you've had pain, the more complicated it becomes. Today, I want to break down and talk about chronic pain and how a runner can break out of this pain cycle to achieve their goals. If I'm treating a runner who's had pain for a couple months or a couple years, I am taking a very different approach to a runner who just got injured a couple weeks ago. The body's response to chronic pain is a very big picture response, and that is why I like to use the biopsychosocial approach. I'll break this down, but I've seen this approach work really well with chronic pain, not just in runners, but those who are also sedentary, and it's really what my research was on in grad school. Let's start by talking about what is the biopsychosocial model and what actually causes pain. So pain is an output of the brain, not an input of the brain, which means we don't need tissue damage to cause pain. It is created by the brain. So if you think about our nervous system, how it runs all throughout our body, if I'm having knee pain, we might imagine that this knee pain is sending signals up to our brain, and our brain is sending signals back down to our knee saying you're in pain. But that's just not how it works. And that's why I think pain is really interesting, but also very complicated. There is nothing that is sent up to our brain telling our brain we're in pain. That means we do not need tissue damage to cause pain. A good example of this is if you find like random bruises on your body. I know I have done this all the time. Like you're like, where did I get this bruise from on my arm? You have no idea where it came from. And that obviously was some tissue damage because something impacted your skin and caused more blood to rush through that area as a protective mechanism and to heal it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you felt pain. Another good example is if you have ever looked at your hand, noticed a cut, and then the pain starts, but it wasn't there before. Pain is created when the brain determines the body is in danger. It's a protective mechanism. A really good resource for chronic pain is the book, Why Do I Hurt? And I'm going to refer to it often in this episode. This book is good because it breaks down and explains how the nerves are heightened and how the brain perceives danger. Now, if someone is having chronic low back pain and their nerves are heightened because of this pain, then the danger that the brain perceives never goes away. It's basically like if the nerves had a house and next to them were more nerves and next to them were more nerves and each nerve has a house. And it's basically like if the nerve knocked on the neighbor's door and said, we're in danger. And then that cycle continued and the nerves keep spreading this information that they are in danger. And therefore, it continues to be this cycle of the nerves being heightened, which means they're overactive. They can't necessarily calm down. They don't have a reason to calm down just yet. But again, this doesn't mean there's tissue damage. And this is where the biopsychosocial model comes in. So that was just to explain how if we start with pain, how it can escalate or how the intensity of the pain can change very quickly. The biopsychosocial model examines three main pillars that can all lead to pain and work simultaneously together. My research in grad school was specifically on how to treat someone with chronic low back pain using the biopsychosocial model. And I really love this model because I think it works well and it's something that we often don't think about when we think of pain. So the first pillar is the bio part. And this really examines the biological factors such as genetics, sex, age, comorbidities such as high blood pressure, hormonal factors, etc. All of these can play into the amount of pain that we perceive, so it's important to include them. The second pillar is the psychological factors. So this includes things like anxiety, depression, anger, fear, sleep, stress, catastrophizing, PTSD, coping mechanisms, etc. The third pillar is the social pillar. This includes your environmental factors such as family, work, community, friends and peers, hobbies, social media, and your culture. When you're working with a physical therapist and you have chronic pain, they should be asking you about more than your running or more than the activities that cause the pain. Because if you're having this chronic pain, as you can see with these three pillars, we're digging very deep into what is happening at the brain. Because I want to know, as a physical therapist, I want to know what is triggering the pain that is going on in the brain besides different movement patterns and different musculoskeletal factors. So I'm considering your sleep patterns, your stress levels, how you're managing your anxiety or your depression, if that's applicable, how you are handling fear or how you are handling different types of stress with family or if there's a really big life event happening. So really getting to the bottom of all these different things and then revealing, did this certain event happen or did this certain increase in stress line up with when you started experiencing the pain? Because there usually is a very large connection with the two, especially if this is a type of chronic pain where you've had it for years and years and years, you've tried everything, you are very sedentary now, or you can't do what you want to be doing because of it. And that, again, it's a different type of chronic pain versus the runner who's had pain for, you know, months or even like 2 years, but they can still run. This is more specifically about the extreme case of chronic pain, but it's still important to note if there is any sort of lineup between your stress levels, anxiety, depression, sleeping patterns, etc., with when the pain is heightened or when the pain started. So we talked about how pain is an output of the brain and the basics of the biopsychosocial model. Now let's talk about how this can come together when I treat someone with chronic pain. It's really, really important that someone who has had pain for years and years, and maybe they insist they're going to have to live with it forever, or maybe they've thought that, you know, I can't do everything I want to do because of this pain. It's important that either with you talking to a physical therapist or you just being honest with yourself, that you're able to open up and talk about different life events or different stressors in your life. So being able to truly dig deep into what's happening at the brain is so important. So you have to be really open about the pain. You also have to make sure that you are being honest with yourself and open to the fact that this might actually help you get out of pain versus, again, just thinking, I'm going to live with it forever. It's not even worth my time, or, you know, I'm already used to it. What's the point? When I've worked with really extreme cases of chronic pain, I found that sometimes just talking through these different questions, such as, you know, digging into stress levels or just understanding maybe their home life or understanding their work environment, just talking about it before I even put my hands on them, before I even look at what's weak or what's stiff, just asking those questions and digging into it is going to decrease their pain. This usually happens, especially if it's someone with like 10 out of 10 pain when they walk in and they're like, wow, I already feel like my pain is maybe a 5 out of 10 or something like that. Like it's less pain, even though I haven't even touched them. I haven't done a manipulation, a mobilization on them. So I think, again, like that is so important to just dig into your life stressors, dig into your sleep schedule. And one thing that I really encourage is to maybe journal or meditate or work on your breathing. And that's going to take you a lot further than certain exercises will. The whole goal of physical therapy or rehab is to find out what is causing the pain. If the pain is really caused by these biopsychosocial factors, me giving you clamshells, bridges, whatever, is not going to help your pain. It's probably going to make your pain a lot worse because you perceive this movement as pain. So again, like if it comes down to you having some sort of psychological, like biopsychosocial factors that are affecting your pain, we have to address that or else you're going to be stuck in this cycle of pain. And that has happened to so many patients and I don't want that for you. So really, really important. Start journaling every day. Start meditating, start working on 360 belly breathing. Those little things can really add up to decreasing your pain. And then when you journal, you'll be able to say, you know, I was stressed today, but I did some 360 breathing or I did 5 minutes of meditation. My pain level was at this. And being able to look back on what is really causing the pain or what is helping to decrease the pain. I remember a very extreme case of chronic pain that I treated, and she had even gone to what's called pain camp for a month. And it's basically for those with chronic pain to get them out of pain. And she said it helped, but the pain came back. I remember I asked her all these questions. I really dove into it and it was time for me to assess her because we have to do that for insurance reasons. And I had her lay on her stomach and I put my hand, like one hand, just gently on her low back. Didn't push, didn't, you know, I wasn't even poking around yet. She screamed in pain. Like she was like, that's 10 out of 10 pain, like screaming. Her nerves were so heightened that any sort of touch was painful because her brain was interpreting my hand as a threat to her body. Now, obviously, my hand, just placing my hand over top of her shirt on her low back was not causing any sort of tissue damage. So we literally spent the entire first session with me just talking to her, talking about her family, And I just place very light pressure of my fingers and then eventually to the palm of my hand and then my whole hand. And she got used to that because she got used to the stimulus. So it's really looking at what is causing these nerves to be heightened. That should be a question if you have chronic pain, like you, any sort of like movements are causing pain that don't really have a certain pattern to them, then that is something that I would be asking over and over again. Like, am I stressed? Do I have anxiety or depression? Or why are my nerves heightened so much? And it might just be the fact that you haven't had the correct rehab process to where you have been able to progress from pain-free movements and then keep progressing those pain-free movements, which I'll talk about in a second. But it might also be that we have to dig deeper into what's going on at the brain and almost like reprogram the brain to understanding that not all movement is painful. I really love a running journal, but I also really love a pain journal, especially again, if you've had that pain for a while and you can start to pick up on a pattern. So I would start to question and ask yourself when you have pain and you're sitting down and you're writing, I would ask, are you really stressed out? Or did this pain happen right after you yelled at your kids or your significant other? Or is your anxiety super high? Did you sleep okay the night before? Was it when you were sitting in on a work meeting and you could feel your anxiety rising? You know, all these certain patterns, it doesn't necessarily have to be a pattern of it was when I went up the stairs or, you know, it was when I took a step out to the side that caused pain. Anytime someone has chronic pain, we have to look at these different patterns of the biopsychosocial model and looking at the musculoskeletal aspect of, okay, is it when it's certain movements of the joints or the muscles? So it's important to look at both, but in terms of just journaling, I highly recommend journaling and seeing if you can pick up on any of these patterns. The last thing I want to talk about is the chronic pain cycle. So this is basically the cycle that if you're in chronic pain, you are stuck in this cycle. If you know a cycle, it never ends. There's just continuous arrows. It never ends. And one of the main goals of PT, if you work with someone who has experience with chronic pain, is to get out of this pain cycle. So there's no starting point. There's no stopping point. I'm just going to say like one of the aspects of the cycle in the beginning, but don't think that this is like where you start. So you have anxiety, that pain is signaling tissue damage and doing your body harm. Then your brain becomes more focused on the problem and it's all you can think about. Then this causes changes to take place in the nervous system, causing more pain. Then this leads to more anxiety about the pain and therefore you aren't as active because of the pain. Then this causes more changes to the nervous system and the cycle continues and continues and continues. And it usually gets worse and the intensity of the pain gets worse. In order to break out of this cycle, we must understand more about the pain. This can include talking to a physical therapist or even reading the book, Why Do I Hurt? There's a lot of YouTube videos on Why Do I Hurt as well that have really good graphics and examples. So how do we get out of it? Like I said, talk to a physical therapist. Understand that movement is medicine. We must learn to move in ways that are not painful. This could mean starting with a very simple exercise or small movement so your brain starts to understand that not all movements are painful. For example, if someone has very severe chronic low back pain, they might start with neck circles. They might start with different like hip movements. And I don't want them to be painful because I am showing the brain that not every movement is quote bad or a threat to the brain. Like I said before, you can also meditate, sleep, breathing patterns to calm anxiety. Journaling is super helpful as well. So if you do have chronic pain, I highly recommend you work one-on-one with a physical therapist. If you have found this podcast episode helpful, please rate and review it below. Pain can be very complex. So if you have any questions, feel free to message me or email me and we can chat more. Have a great run. I'll talk to you next time. Bye.